here at Faith Radio, we're making the commitment to choose joy no matter what. And this month, giving away two copies of Kay Warren's Choose Joy devotional every week. You can sign up online at myfaithradio.com. And a while back, I had a chance to talk with Kay Warren about her thoughts on joy. And the reality is that, you know, life is not always joyful. But here's some good words from Kay Warren. You give an illustration of railroad tracks, kind of analogy of that, because the reality is that while we can choose joy, suffering and evil seem like they're always present. So how do we deal with that paradox?
Yeah, I used to think that life came in hills and valleys, you know, or ups and downs. People always talk about, you know, ups and downs. There's an upside and there's downsides of life and the hills and the valleys. And I think, you know, maybe it comes that way, but I think it more often comes in what I call this parallel set of train tracks. And so that every day of my life, there is something that is beautiful, that is a cause for joy. There's something every day that is joy. And that's one train track. And at the same exact moment, there's something that happens or that I could think of or that occurs every single day that's sad or that's sorrowful or shows how broken this world is or how broken my body is or my relationships. And so joy and sorrow run side by side throughout our lives every single day. And, you know, as human beings, of course, we want to lean toward the joy side and just try to make everything always happy and everything good and everything positive and try to stay off of that sorrow track. But it's impossible because this is earth, not heaven. This is a broken planet. And like I said, everything in life is broken. Every relationship has breaks in it. Some of them irreparably. Our bodies don't work perfectly. The weather doesn't work right. Politics sure doesn't work right. I mean, everything about our world is broken. And we can't escape it, no matter how hard we might try, how much we might want to deny it, say it doesn't exist. Evil and suffering is a part of our daily lives, but so is joy. And so for me, the trick, if you will, or the goal is to learn how to go down both of those tracks every single day, not be thrown off by the sorrow, not trying to avoid it, not just being a Pollyanna or somebody who thinks that everything is great if I'll just think positively enough. It's recognizing that both are true and that both can be experienced every single day. When my youngest grandsons were really small, they loved trains. And so I would take them down to, there's a train depot near us, kind of a rural train depot, and I can take them down there. And, you know, if they're not paying too much attention and it's completely safe, they love to get on those tracks. They love to just stand there on those tracks and you know, listen for the sound of a train coming, in which case we would scramble way behind the barriers and, you know, be very safe. But I noticed one day that as we were standing on the tracks, that if I looked off into the horizon, if I looked as far down the tracks as I could see, eventually those two tracks, I couldn't distinguish that there were two tracks. They melded into one, if you would, right at the horizon. And it gave me this picture in my mind of that's exactly what will happen to us someday. That as we're in life right now and we're on these parallel train tracks where there is suffering but there is joy and they run right next to each other, that someday in the brightness of Jesus coming, you know, when he comes for us and he takes us back to himself, in the brightness of that joy and sorrow tracks will meld into one, and there will just be one track left, if you will, and it will be joy. And that gave me so much hope to think that, yes, while this life has both, one day, only the joy will remain. And that encourages my soul to keep going, knowing that at one point, one day, Jesus will change all of that.
One of the questions I'd written down is, you know, can we know with confidence how our faith life will respond when trouble comes? I think, you know, deep down, we want to be able to say, yes, I'll choose joy when the hard stuff hits or when that suffering track is more prominent than the other. Are there ways that we can be more confident in how we respond?
I think you only know how your faith is going to respond when you're in it. You can do the preparatory work, which is sending your roots deep into God's love, into his word, into who he is, into his character. Those are all things that you and I can do on a daily basis that prepare us for when the carpet gets pulled out from underneath us, when we get those bad news calls. But the only way to really know how strong or stable your faith is to have it tested. I mean, an untested faith is an unreliable faith. We can just hope or cross our fingers or, you know, hope that my faith is going to be okay when tough times come. But the message paraphrase of James 1:2 says that in hard times, our faith life is exposed. I mean, it's out there. It doesn't matter at that point what I say I believe. It doesn't matter what I've always thought I believed. It doesn't matter what I've taught or what I tell other people I believe. None of that matters, because when your faith life is actually exposed and you're in the most difficult, painful moments of your life, and it's just out there for everybody to see how you're going to respond, that's when you know whether your faith is as strong as you thought it was. And it always has bothered me to think that I can talk a good talk. I mean, I've been a Bible teacher for years, and so it's really easy for me to say all sorts of things about how strong my faith is. But the only way I really know how strong my faith is when it's exposed to the winds of adversity, to the losses of death, to the brokenness of a body that doesn't work well, to children who go a direction, to a divorce, to abuse. That's when you know where your faith really is. And our neighbors and our coworkers and our family members who are not believers, they're watching. They really are. And sometimes it's with a judgmental eye, but sometimes they're just as hungry as anybody else to know, okay, so you say you're a believer in Jesus Christ. You say that you have this strong faith in him. Show me how you act, how you respond when the dark days, when the dark times hit. And so we were very keenly aware on one level that there was a watching world, from neighbors to family to coworkers to our kids, our grandkids. There was a watching world that wanted to know how we were going to respond in the suicide of our child. And that's a lot of pressure, but it also is mostly exposed to me some holes in my faith, exposed some places where I wasn't as strong as I thought I was or as stable as I thought I was in my faith. And it's given me the opportunity to put my money where my mouth is. I mean, I want my grandkids to be able to look back on my life and say, you know what, my Grammy, she lost her son. She lost our Uncle Matthew. And it changed her. And she's not exactly the same person she used to be. But what I saw in my Grammy and my Papa were people who loved Jesus with their whole heart, who believed that he was in control of the details of their life. They believed with everything that they had that ultimately even this tragedy was going to be okay. And I saw my Grammy and my Papa praise Jesus and love him. That's what I want. And so knowing that the exposure of my faith life in tragedy had an opportunity to teach lessons far more profound than any Bible study I'd ever written, that my life is teaching my faith to those who watch. That is a motivation to me to make sure that my faith walk with Jesus is exactly as strong and stable and true as I say it is.
Kay Warren talking so openly about the loss of her son. Her and Rick lost their 27-year-old son. He took his own life, and out of that, she has used that suffering to develop a wonderful devotional called Choose Joy. And we're giving away a couple of copies of Kay Warren's Choose Joy devotional each week during the month of July. And I want to just encourage you to sign up, myfaithradio.com, give us your contact information. And giving away these devotionals, which can not only be an effective encouragement to you, but think about others that maybe just are going through very dark times and they're on that sort of that track of suffering and just need to see the joy that is set before them. So sign up for that, myfaithradio.com, the Choose Joy devotional with Kay Warren. And by the way, if you want to hear that full interview with Kay Warren, I recommend it as well. You can find the podcast, the interviews archived on the Connecting Faith Show page at myfaithradio.com.
To live a lifestyle that exemplifies God's love. Hi, I'm Steve Douglas for Making Your Life Count, and Kay Horner talks about how, in our daily walks with God, a lifestyle of praying, caring, and sharing just becomes natural.
When we talk about a prayer, care, share lifestyle, that sounds like just a cute cliche, but in reality, there's this ongoing relationship of prayer that inspires us to go out and care in our communities.
Well, here are just a few of the many ways to make a difference.
Maybe at your local pregnancy care center, your local English as a second language classes, engaging in tutoring programs at your schools. And once you open that door, their hearts are more open and responsive to hear the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
What a rewarding way to live, touching people for eternity. To learn more about the Pray, Care, Share lifestyle, go to makingyourlifecount.com.
Thanks for joining us here today on Connecting Faith. If you want to hear the Kay Warren interview, we just shared a portion of that. Or our earlier conversation with Alejandro Mendez, you can find that. We'll post that interview on the website as well. And Ted liked to see Alex and his wife hanging out in Norway.
What a great opportunity for them. Looking
for some spicy food. So, what? Herring again? Cheese? Come
on. Right.
I need something. Give me something here. He's a great brother in Christ and appreciate him a lot. And you want to hear that full interview or maybe pass it on to a friend, of course, you can do that online at the Connecting Faith Show page of myfaithradio.com.
A great show coming up tomorrow as well, right?
Looking forward to that. Another return guest, Randy Newman, who is a campus ministry veteran with Campus Crusade for Christ, written a number of books, and we're going to talk about his updated book, Questioning Evangelism. Now, he's not actually questioning evangelism, but the subtitle is Engaging People's Hearts the Way Jesus Did. You'll find it fascinating tomorrow on Connecting Faith.